B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
The Bruins were down 2-0 early on to Carolina, but got a Patrice Bergeron power play goal to cut that deficit to 2-1. Then they got run over.
Puck banged up to the left point. Slavin shoots. He scores. That was a rocket out in front. Don't know if it changed directions. But it doesn't take long, and the Hurricanes have answered to make it 3-1.
That's Judge Surratt here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Carolina scored 5 first-period goals and blew out the Bruins 7-1 at TD Garden. Tuukka Rask started in net. He allowed 5 goals and was pulled. The next game is tomorrow night at home against the Washington Capitals. The Montreal Canadiens have hired Kent Hughes as their new GM. Hughes was previously the agent for Patrice Bergeron. The NBA trade deadline is 3 weeks from tomorrow. Celtics made a small trade last night. They sent forward Juan Hernan Gomez to Denver and a second-round pick in 2028 to San Antonio. In return, the Green got back Bol Bol and forward P.J. Dozier. Bol was just traded to Detroit, but that deal was voided after he failed a physical, and he will undergo foot surgery that'll keep him out 8 to 12 weeks. Dozier's out for the season with a torn ACL. Celtics at home tonight to play Charlotte. It's Grandy and Max. They'll have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And a couple of former Red Sox are joining the Washington Nationals organization. Coco Crisp is the team's new outfield and base running coordinator. Bill Miller is the quality control coordinator. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by New England Van and Truck. Recently purchased a new commercial van? Your next call should be to New England Van and Truck Equipment in Woburn. Get your commercial van ready for the job and tell your dealer to use New England Van and Truck Equipment. Learn more at newenglandvan.com. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
It's the only website Boston sports fans need. And it's a forward.
They're looking for that.
They haven't seen anything like that, nor has anybody. I haven't seen one.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Forbert chased. It's deflected over to the near side. Now back of the net, Martinuk. Centers, they score. Derek Stepan goes shelf. And it's 5-1 Carolina.
Tonight we had nothing. They were clearly better than us in every area. So, you know, we weren't nearly good enough. And we wouldn't have been good enough against the worst team in the league tonight. We just, you know, we weren't competitive. And we paid the price.
All right. That is... Bruins, who were very, very bad last night, in the voice of their coach, Mr. Cassidy, after a disastrous performance, but a game that let you watch other things on television if you so chose, which is always nice. Is Billy with us? Billy Jaffe analyzes the Bruins for Nest, and he has his own podcast called Morning Brew with Andrew Raycroft. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Do you got COVID?
I do, yeah.
So we got two people on right now with COVID.
Welcome to the club, Billy.
Yeah. Monday. I came back from a road trip, and I had a test set up. But
they told you no hookers, and yet you still went.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm only human.
Yeah, I mean, you
listen, went up to Buffalo, I had 4 days there, and I don't know when I feel pretty good. I do. I'm not trying to make light of it but thankfully.
I just think that who's tickling the strings in the background over there?
I don't know. It's quiet here. Nobody's at home. It's just me in my office.
All right. Well, oh, someone's got music going. I don't know. I can hear it. Maybe it's just medleys in my head because I'm so happy.
How's Rich feeling? Rich, how are you feeling?
I sound a little bit like you. We got a little Harvey Fierstein going with our voices. It's like I just tired. It's like just as I was saying earlier, it just feels like I swallowed a bunch of Benadryl, and that's really about it. And my voice is a little, or my throat's a little scratchy, but nothing too crazy.
I came back from a youth hockey event, and so my voice is always crappy after that for a week because of all the yelling you do into a mask. But anyways, I mean, look, I'm lucky. Hopefully this is it for a few days. And otherwise really nothing. But, That was tough last night. That was tough. That was a except for the Willie O'Ree ceremony, that was a tough go.
What took them so long to retire his number?
Well, remember, they were supposed to do it last year.
Yeah.
The pandemic stopped.
He's still
that
really
too.
Old.
Yeah, he is. He looks amazing, though, and he is an amazing guy. I don't know. I mean, 2018 in the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Bruins and decided to do the jersey. I'm curious if the rest of the league eventually will do the 22, like Jackie Robinson's number in MLB. A wonderful night. I thought the ceremony was handled beautifully, and obviously tough with him being remote. But he still had a real full day of some surprises back in San Diego where he lives. He had some people visit him, and he had some other great things happen to him too. So a well-deserved day for a man who has really, really deserved it and put it out there for years and years and years and for the betterment of hockey and for society.
Yeah, I've always wondered why his number wasn't retired. And so at least they did it while he was alive. So at least they got that going for him. All right, so we'll focus on last night.
Do we have to?
Yeah, just briefly, because you're the expert. You know, what happened? I mean, that's sort of historical as games go, for as bad as they played.
Yeah, you know, listen, the Bruins definitely didn't have it, no question. But the size, the length, and the speed of the Carolina Hurricanes, a team that I think, Fred, Rich, Johnny, use the Bruins now as their number one game of the season. This is the second of three games that these two teams are playing. And by the way, Carolina has the number one winning percentage in the league. It's a damn good team. They've been good for the last couple of years, but right. They're going through that stretch where they're having to learn how to be great. And maybe this is their year. I've talked about how I feel like they're a legit cup finalist before over on the NHL Network. They use this, Fred, the Bruins, the team that has dominated them in the playoffs last couple of years that they've played, as kind of their in-season, I don't want to call Stanley Cup, but in-season big-time game. I think they do. And I think they look to make a statement that, you know, we are ready to take that next step. Now, with all that said, the Bruins sure as heck didn't respond. Every player would tell you that. The coach already told you that. That's disappointing. But I think the size, I mean, this is where, how many times for, I don't know how long he ended up being able to watch, but the interior play of the Carolina Hurricanes versus what the Bruins were able to do, eliminating them from driving between the dots to the front of the net, was significant. The but Bruins never got...
Aren't the Bruins supposed to be built for that now, though? They were supposed to have gotten bigger in the offseason. They're supposed to be able to...
Not on the back end. I've talked about it before with you. Like that, you know, I mean, they added Derek Forbert. There's some sizer, but they overall, I've said numerous times, love to see them add size on the back end. That would absolutely help. This was a net front, an off-the-wall type of game where the Bruins did not succeed in winning battles and eliminating the opponent getting to that area.
How did Tuukka – go ahead, Rich.
Well, I think we're about to ask the same thing. Like, what did you take from Tuukka, not just from last night, but since he's been back, what are you seeing out of him?
Okay, well, two different things. Last night, he wasn't great, but it was not – maybe – the Jarvis goal where the guy's driving. I asked Razor about that during late night morning brew. And he just talked like maybe he was anticipating some contact, but you know what? All those goals were scored from within like 8 feet with no opponent there. The second goal,
right. There
was literally two defensemen way outside the area. Nobody, forget picking up a stick. Nobody was even within a half a foot of the kid.
Was there a fatigue factor after the Nashville game, as physical as that Nashville game was?
Yeah. I don't think so. Okay. Could they be tired? Sure, Fred. Is that a reason? No. Not coming in, especially with Willie O'Ree night. You have two days to reset. No, I mean, I can't tell you how the guys are feeling not being able to be in the locker room talking.
Is it because they're racist?
I think it's because they got beat by a better team.
Okay. And so basically, if you play Carolina in the playoffs, we're thinking sweep.
I'm thinking that Carolina up there, I said to somebody last night, Carolina looks to me, outside of their goaltending, as the next Tampa. Now, let's not forget, it's taken a while for Carolina to get there, just like Florida. And I like Florida, too. Florida, in fact, has got the second-best winning percentage in the league. But these teams have had to build and build and build after a lot of badness. And the Bruins are going to have to match it. The Bruins, they have to make a deal. If they're going to compete, they know it too. Whether they are able to accomplish that or not, I don't know, bud. But they know that they have to. Like, they're better. The Bruins are, you know, the Bruins are definitely better. We cannot deny that than what they were before. Let's hope that this is one bad game, but you can't hide the fact that they need to make some tweaks. And we've talked about that before, guys. We have.
Okay, so I saw something in The Athletic where they were rating the farm systems of the teams, and the Bruins were not last. And this is the first time, I believe, in the last 3 years.
Yeah, they jumped up last. Some spots. Yep.
And it's all because of this kid, according to what this guy said. It was
Lysel.
It was all because of him, and he's 18. So he seems to be a few years away.
He is.
And the reason I ask that is there anything down there that could be a benefit? Is there anyone who's knocking on the door that maybe we haven't seen?
Not that I know of. Not from my knowledge. Like, the kid Mason Lowry is a big defenseman who plays at Ohio State.
Yes.
Might be 6'4", 6'5", already. Very, very effective with his feet. Like, for a big kid, he skates beautifully. He's part of that new generation hockey players. But he's a couple of years away. He is. I mean, he's and Lysel is a couple of years away. You know, we got to.
And that kid, they hate that kid from Michigan now. The
Beecher?
Yeah, they don't like him.
The Athletic? Yeah. I haven't seen him play now in a couple of years. He's had a lot of injuries. He had COVID for a while last year. He was supposed to be on Team USA at the World Juniors, and he got COVID. He's had a lot of bad luck. I haven't even had a chance to talk to people that know his game well this year. His third year now at Michigan. I'd be curious if after this year he gets into the pro game to try and build. He's 6'3". Excuse me, 205 pounds, 206 pounds, I think, right now.
Right.
He could top out at 6'3", 215, 218. Again, they need some size like that up there. Is he going to pan out? I don't know. He's got probably a couple of years. But
they say fourth line.
Yeah, he's
4 goals in 17 games at Michigan this year.
Yeah, they're calling him a fourth line at best.
Well, you know, listen.
And he's the best prospect.
You need depth. There's no question that they need to start getting more. You know, could they perhaps use one of those guys as part of a package deal, guys? Yeah, they could. Other teams will look for youth and look for guys that have time to develop. That's part of the salary cap world, too.
But they're not in a position to do that, right, Billy? Like, if you were running the team, would you be moving prospects?
Well, I would if I'm getting – not for a one-year – not for a guy that you're hoping, you know
– a rental.
If you're going to put together a package and get a mid-aged, younger player – you have to give up something like that, Fred, as part of the package, because you got to remember the salary cap was supposed to go up $1 million from last year this year to next year. But now, without Canadian teams having fans in the stands, will that change? And that might change too. They might start getting them back, but I think the Players Association and the NHL owners are waiting to see what happens there too. And so,
what a ghetto league, $1 million. They get like $1 million in cap. I mean, what a JV league, $1 million in cap space, and they don't even know if they could do it. Canada dragging us down again. That's the way it goes, apparently. I mean,
business end of it, you've had 2 years where significant losses.
No, I understand it. There's inflation. I mean,
Are looking for cap space. That's the other thing. So if the Bruins can afford to take, and the Bruins are, I think, are going to try to, you know, make some clear some space and hopefully get somebody. But, you know, yeah, they're going to have to give up something to try and get something. You know that. I mean, that's an obvious state.
All right. So the beginning of what was supposed to be the Olympic break is right around the corner, and they still haven't rescheduled any of these games. Today's the day.
We're hearing today could have a schedule. I hope we do, because I'd love to figure some things out selfishly as well. The Bruins have at least 6 games, but, you know, would they alleviate some? Would they alleviate some of the heaviness of the schedule in March and April and move a few to February? I don't know. There were some rumblings, Rich, that there was still going to give teams 5 days off during that break. There was originally a deal during the Olympic break, I guess, that teams would have at least stretches of 10 days off because, you know, you couldn't have teams practicing even. even with the players that weren't going over to the Olympics, the guys would have a 10-day break. But
I'd heard that. They have written in there, I guess, the Players Association during that time.
Yes.
It was basically a winter break that wasn't
right.
even had anything to do with the Olympics. So that's weird because
that's not
a very long break that they've got there then, or it's a small amount of time to jam in six games.
I'm just going
to
say, four games in five nights for some of those Canadian teams, right?
They'll have, yes, they're going to have to, Wallach, they're going to have to play some 3 and 4s, some 4 and 5s. They're going to try to make travel easy. I mean, couldn't at that point, I'm just throwing this out there. I have no idea. This has been really quiet. You know, usually we start hearing rumblings a few days before of things, but would they go to what they did last year, which I thought was spectacular, where you play two games in the same city in two nights or two games in three nights?
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that. And I understand, it's not ideal for every road trip, but, that kind of thing, mini series, I love it. So could they do that? Listen, you're right. It's not a long break. I believe the All-Star game is Saturday, February 5th. I don't have my calendar open. So I think that's the right date. If the teams are going to start playing, I'm told, on Monday, the 7th. So if you do, let's say each team's got a 5-day break in that spot. Now you've whittled it from like 17 or 18. I think it's 17 days down to 12 days. So you still could play six games in 12 days. That's not unheard of in the National Hockey League.
All right. Well, I hope they let you know.
I hope so too.
Billy. I mean, it's like you just look at the TD Garden schedule, and it's so jammed up already during that time. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know where they're going to plug all this stuff.
Considering the way the Bruins were earlier in the season where they play one game every 10 days, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, they'll be jammed up, but they could also move. They could look at the rest of the schedule and say, all right, we're going to play this game on the road against this team and move their other game back to home at another time because of your point, Rich, about the TD Garden being busy. So but let's say they play six games and only two of them are at home. Well, then maybe they move some home games later down the stretch, or road games later down the schedule to home. I don't know. Steve Hatzepetros is the guy that's got to figure this all out at the NHL, and I don't know how he does it.
Or you just let Shanana play like at one quarter of the rink and then have the game at the rest of it.
Sure.
Because they're doing a residency.
You are a marketing genius. Yes, Shanana would be.
Do you remember Shanana?
On the ice. I do, of course. I'm old enough to remember. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're like the Bowser of the Nesson crew.
Who's the quality control person? Wallach, I heard your headlines. Who's the quality control person?
I have no idea what Bill Miller's going to be doing for Washington. I don't know what a quality control
guy
is.
I would love to be
is.
The base running coach for a major league team.
That's right. That's Coco Crisp's new job.
That'd be just goes to show. They're always learning, Johnny.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Quality control. Who's the quality control over there with you guys?
With us?
Oh, that'd be Fred.
Yeah, you?
That'd be Fred. Fred monitors everything. He's the guy in charge.
Yeah, I'm in charge of everything.
I love it.
All right, Billy, feel better. Sorry that you got the COVID.
Yeah, feel better, Billy.
But I'm glad you're not sick and that you're able
We're going to make it through.
All right.
Thanks.
They still paying you, Ness, or are they screwing you over?
Oh.
It all goes to the wardrobe.
All to the wardrobe expense. Yes, I wanted to do the game from home last night. I missed being there with the guys.
All right, buddy. Guys. Take it easy. Have a good one.
There's a great clip I just retweeted. I think it might have been Dan Roach who put it out there, but I guess Zdeno Chara got in a fight last night, and it's one of those where he just connects with this guy. It's a good fight. But Chara at one point in the fight, you can see him, with an uppercut, and it looks like the guy just almost stops moving. It's Zach MacEwen from Philadelphia,
who, by the way, is 20 years younger than Chara, and Chara beat the ever-loving stuffing out of him and ended it. So often you see fights that end with like a wrestling match and the ref step in. Chara knocked this guy out.
It's very, very rare. Yeah.
But he like knocks him out, and then after the fight's essentially over, Chara and the ref's trying to split the two up. Chara basically stops to make sure that Zach MacEwen is all right.
Yeah, make sure you didn't kill him.
He talks to him like, hey, man, you okay? Everything good? I didn't mean to hit you right there on the button, but I mean, you can see the punch that does it, MacEwen goes limp.
Okay, think about it. What percentage of hockey fights end with someone just falling backwards from a punch? Like 0.1%?
Yeah.
So,
the guy was on, MacEwen was on his hands and knees, did not know where he was. He had to be pulled up.
Yeah, he's probably
scared. And then Chara, leaned in and was like,
Yeah, probably scared he killed the guy.
Yeah. He's 44.
But I mean, it's
but
after
his life sucks. All he does is work out and eat like raw meat.
He loves that. I'm sure that's what keeps him going.
Of course, it's what keeps him going. I mean, you're not his age and playing hockey unless you've sacrificed every single thing in your life. Every pleasurable experience is gone. Yes, of
course. He's fallen in love with the pain. That's who he is.
I mean, seriously.
He's a living Rammstein song.
Like, because it's one thing, like, I'm, like, going to get jacked. I'm in my 40s and, like, you know, you just, like, work out and eat well. Like, but then I'd put on top of that he's got to play hockey. I mean, it's like 1,000 times harder.
Remember, his dad, Zdenek, a Greco-Roman wrestler, probably stretched Zdeno out when he was a kid basement.
I've told you that he did. Yeah. They had to shut out back. I'm not lying. Ooh, they had to shut out back. And that is absolutely true.
Yeah. That hit, Fred, that it looks like it's on the chin. I mean, it gets McEwen right in the chin, and you just see McEwen just go limp. And at that moment, Char just grabs, like, hey, man, you okay? You okay? dude, I didn't mean to do that. So I don't know my own strike sometimes.
What's funny though is Chelios played forever and he was boozing it up and doing everything else and running around Detroit. Alright, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Everything's slow.
Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Tusher and Rich. We have laid off the Patriots pretty much today to give everyone a break. But it is funny, like, we were talking about the mock draft. And then I read the responses to the Tusher and Rich Twitter, and it's the same things, and I have to keep explaining to people that they're wrong. For a rookie quarterback, you're making the playoffs, that's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. You spent $180 million in free agency. Not everyone in this room, John didn't, but Rich and I both thought that they would make the playoffs and lose in the first round.
Yep.
Because you spent all that money. And then it goes, well, what should they do? They should be the Jets or the Lions and tank every year. And then I have to explain, the Jets and the Lions have never done this before. They've never broken everything down before. They've always panicked and gone crazy in free agency. Idzik and McCagnon for the Jets and every bozo that Millen and everyone else. When they drafted Stafford, they went crazy in free agency all the time and brought in all kinds of receivers and all this. And it didn't work. And then the thing becomes, they're going to win more games than the Jets. And then, listen, the Jets might end up sucking forever. But the thing is, I know for a fact they'll be better next year. That might be 7 wins because they only won 4 games. But the Jets will win 7 games. And this isn't even about the Jets. But they went to a total teardown. And they're relying on, and they traded away veteran players to get draft capital. They have 2 top 10 picks in the first round. 2 picks in the second round, multiple picks in the third round, and they might very well blow all those picks. But all I know is that they played young kids and that they got a bunch of young kids coming in. And the people that they signed in free agency were young. They were young and entering their primes, or at the very cusp of their primes. And they didn't spend $180 million.
Well, let me just ask. So I didn't hear the last 2 days, but your opinion wasn't that this is the Patriots and that's as good as they're going to get, is it? Because that's not true.
No, my opinion is that this team is delaying a rebuild.
No, they've been rebuilding. I mean, you have to take a look at, let's look on the offensive side, because the defense, there's a lot of work they have to do. We know that. It's 3 years in a row, you have had a situation where they have stalled out in that final month, and it's been an embarrassment. And they do have to make some big changes there. But offensively...
Okay, by the way, you are on record as being the only person at this station that feels this way, but go ahead.
That feels way about what?
That this is a that they're in the process of rebuilding.
Not process of rebuilding is that they're in the process of their rebuild took like 1 year.
They're stagnant,
but they're improving. No, so you're saying that you don't think next year they're going to be any better than they were this year.
If they don't think the offense can improve, can I say this?
Okay,
if they franchise J.C. Jackson, right? You know how they need corner help. That's half their cap space.
More.
That's more than half their cap space.
Okay.
They got two guys in the draft. They got Mac Jones, which is very nice. We'll see how he turns out. And they look like they got a stud defensive tackle.
Right.
And so there's 50 positions that still need to be filled on this team. There's no depth. And they have to, like you said, completely redo this defense. So, no, I don't believe they're going to be better next year.
You don't? Okay. So you just think the offense, there's no way you think that's going to get better.
I don't think that Mac Jones in his first year.
You go, John.
Okay. Well, no, he was asking you. So
I think the offense showed promise. I think that that's something that if you start off your first year with a rookie and they make it to the playoffs, that's a good sign.
It is. It's better. They were three games better.
It is if you didn't load the team with veterans, then you whiffed half on half of them.
Aguilar is, you know, they spent, as far as I'm concerned, they lit that money on fire with Aguilar. Kendrick Bourne is fine. You know,
Kendrick Bourne's better than fine. Kendrick Bourne was a good addition.
He's 55 catches.
He could be a number two receiver.
Fine.
Kendrick Bourne was worth the money.
Yes, he
55
was.
55 catches for 800 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, okay, that's fine.
Worth the money. That was $5 million.
That's fine.
I agree with you on Aguilar. Aguilar is not what they want him to be. You need an impact wide receiver.
You need a guy on this offense like Skarnecki. We played the Skarnecki cut earlier. You need an impact player on offense where the defense is, all right, crap, we got to figure out a way to shut this guy down. We have to shut this guy down to win the game. And that player is not on this roster. So I don't see, nor will you be able to afford him in free agency. You can't afford him in free agency because you just spent all your money. So in order for the offense to get better, Rich, you need Mac Jones to be able to deliver the football to a guy that will scare the opposition. Right now, you don't have that guy. And really lucking out at 21 and drafting that guy, you know,
but then if you draft that guy, then what are you going to do with your linebacking core?
Yes,
what are you going to do with your secondary?
These are the problems the Patriots have. I mean, you could say they improved, and they did. Obviously, 7-10 and making the playoffs, you've improved. But I don't see them taking that next step anytime in the next couple of years.
So you don't see Mac Jones getting better from last year to the next year.
But the question is, how much better is he going to get now?
Well, we've discussed this before,
Rich, and that was the scouting report on him coming out of college. If you're rating quarterbacks on a scale of 0 to 10, Mac Jones will go from 0 to 6 faster than anyone, but his ceiling is only an 8.
Okay, well, maybe up to year 3, but you can't tell me that 1 year in the NFL doesn't change everything about who you are.
Yeah, but
you can't tell me that you hit a ceiling when you're in college, because we've already seen.
He will get better, but he has physical limitations that those other quarterbacks taken in front of him do not.
Yeah, and every other quarterback is going to take the next step next year, too. I mean, they all are.
But he's already a step further than those guys.
Yeah, because he was on a team that spent $180 million, and they knew that mentally he was prepared for the NFL.
But you're making it sound like they spent like their whole team salary is $180 more than everyone else. No, everyone spent the same amount of money. You're close to the same almost as everyone else. You're right in the middle. It's just they had that money to spend.
But
you're making it sound like their team is worth more than everyone else.
They could have jettisoned veteran talent for future assets and they could have played younger players to give them experience. So as much as you're saying Mac Jones would improve for 1 year of experience, so would young players being out on the field instead of behind guys like Dante Hightower. And that is the argument.
Yeah, I know. No, I agree with you defensively. They took a step forward offensively. I think that's the right move, and they're going to be better next year offensively.
I would love to see how this defense is going to improve next year.
But the defense is a massive problem.
And that will drag this team down like an anchor. I mean, you have to get rid of 3, 4, 5 starters at least from this year.
And then
Whose contract is up, by the way? Who's done? I saw the list.
Collins and Van Noy are done. Hightower's done.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I think that's addition by subtraction.
J.C. Jackson, you have to make a decision on him.
But these are all. See, my point has been this whole time is that these are all decisions. You wait on Stephon Gilmore. You waited on these guys. These are all decisions that could have been made a year or two ago, where you would have gotten in something in return and then been able to play
you
younger
players. No, how much would you have gotten for Van Noy? How much would you have gotten
Van Noy was a guy you brought in the middle of the season.
No, no. Yeah. I'm not even
That's what I'm saying is I'm talking about these old guys who are gone.
You could have traded Hightower. You could have traded...
You could have traded Gilmore. You could have traded Gilmore and gotten a lot more than a fifth-round pick.
Well, that is true.
I mean, they knew when they structured his contract a year and a half ago.
Jesus, they could have traded Tom Brady if they really want to go back in time.
Yeah, no, the Gilmore thing was a massive problem.
No, but the thing is, my point is this, and it's my point is even this to you. It's to the people that want to compare teams, is that at the end of the day, when you're an older team making the playoffs and getting destroyed, what's so much better having that season than not making the playoffs but playing a ton of young kids and having a bunch of assets that you can use now to improve your team? That's my point, is that like waiting on this and then waiting until you had young depth and then going crazy in free agency, then you're making a leap that's sustainable. Like it's like they took this one leap and now, I'm pointing to people that are like going to me and going like, well, like what about the Jets? What about the Lions? Because those are the two teams I like. And it's like, well, listen, they're crappy organizations and they very well might as well mess it up. But the Jets going, to me, the Jets winning four games or the Patriots, you know, making the playoffs with an old-ass team that got tired at the end of the year, there's no difference as a fan.
There's a total difference. There's a massive difference because you've shown promise with that offense.
No, but you just said they're losing a bunch of the players that got them to the playoffs.
The older players, which, by the way, I think were part of the reason that they crashed at the end
of the
year,
but they don't have young players to replace them, nor do they have the picks and the assets to get younger players to replace them.
They've already given up on the two tight ends they drafted in the third round 2 years ago. I mean, Jonnu Smith is going to be here for two more seasons after this one.
I want to know what's going on with a guy like Chase Winovich, who's a young player supposed to come in.
Where you drafted him, and you could have gone, let's see how the kid is, and if we play him, that's a perfect example.
The scary part is I think they saw him play and realized that, no, he's not the guy.
Yeah, but what if you gave him a year? Like, what if you...
I think they did give him a year.
Yeah, they panicked pretty quick and got him off the field.
I think they did give him a year and realized that he can't set the edge. And, yeah, he got to the quarterback a few times, but ultimately, he's not the guy.
Rich, even if the offense improves, say the offense does improve, the defense is going to take a step back next year because they just aren't going to have enough young bodies. They don't have 20 picks.
Unless you believe that Jennings is finally going to be healthy, Uche is a guy and Winovich can play 50 snaps a game.
You see, Uche's another mystery that I can't figure out.
Yeah, they don't like him.
He was healthy and couldn't play.
And again, if
they went out and got Jamie Collins and Calvin Noy.
This is exactly my point. If they would have played Uche and played Winovich and played these guys and taken the lumps, then you'd know, and then at least there would be some depth.
See, the scary thing is, I think they already know, and either one of those situations is bad.
You would have known for sure, and sometimes guys will surprise you. And like you said, I mean, we've said it with Mac Jones. Game experience means everything. Of course, I think Mac Jones is going to be
better.
That's
the big
plus. I think Mac Jones. All Mac Jones needs is time off.
They have to concentrate on having a unified voice leading that defense because right now it's a mess.
It's an absolute
mess. And everything you're hearing behind the scenes is it Gerard Mayo's team? Is it Steve Belichick's team? Is it Bill Belichick's team? Get rid of all that. And I know that Gerard Mayo is interviewing today for the Broncos. I think they're flying in town to interview him.
That's correct.
I said, I love the guy. Seems like an awesome person. Great human being. No one's ever said a bad thing about him. I would run as fast as I could away from anyone having to do with this defense right now. Because it's not just 1 year. It's now 3 years in a row you have seen a collapse of epic proportions from this defense.
And that is true, and that is why I don't understand why 3 years ago, if they were gonna let Brady walk, why they didn't take their lumps instead of just band-aiding things and just being in this purgatory. That's my whole point.
See, I wouldn't call this it's a purgatory if there's no hope that you are going to improve. And I did.
Who's
going to
improve more? A team with two top 10 picks, two second round picks, two third round picks, and a bunch of free agent money and no money tied up in crap deals, or the Patriots?
So who's going to improve more, like the Jets or the Patriots?
Who's going to improve
more? Patriots have, they don't have as far to go.
No, exactly. They don't have as far. But are the Jets going to, in two years, are the Jets going to be significantly worse than the Patriots?
Well, yeah.
In 2 years, are the Jets going to be significantly worse than the Patriots?
Say they were a normal.
The answer is yes, they are.
Okay,
there's so no
maybe
question.
A bad example. Okay. All right. Say, let's play in a fantasy world where let's say the Bengals GM was the Jets GM.
All right, fair enough.
All right, let's say the Bengals GM was the Jets GM.
Or just make the Jets be the Bengals.
Okay, say the Jets were the Bengals in the playoffs, and the Bengals front office was the Jets.
Right.
I would want to be in the Jets situation right now. I would. That's me.
Then a team that's already in the playoffs.
Yeah, because it's
with a first year rookie quarterback.
Yeah, because you've got veterans that you overpaid at all these positions.
Man,
the Jets played a bunch of kids and traded away their veterans to get picks and to get younger with their eyes on 2024.
John, you're the stats guy. When all these old farts are gone from the team, how much money they got left?
I don't know the answer to that off the top.
Okay.
Of my head.
Well,
then they're going to be paying Mac Jones.
Yeah.
I'm talking this offseason because with all those guys, they have
$30 million in cap room. And J.C. Jackson's cap number or franchise number is about $18
million. Yeah, Rich, they're not going to have a ton of money to spend. They spent their money.
I think it's addition by subtraction, getting the age off this defense.
No, of course, but the question is, should have been two years ago. But the question is, who do you replace those guys with?
Somebody who's not in 35.
How are you going to get them?
That's fine, but you don't have one place to replace. You have four spots to replace.
You're kind of agreeing with me without agreeing with me. Yes, you need younger kids. How are you going to get them? You had to acquire the assets to get them. They didn't do it. They stuck with these old guys and then added more old
Joshua
guys.
Bledsoe, who missed all of last year and was a sixth-round pick, probably not your guy. McGrone, who has a torn ACL from Michigan and was a fifth-round pick, probably not the guy.
We're running very late. We'll be right back. You can send all your hate mail to me.
Sports Hub headlines.
Carolina snapped the Bruins' 5-game winning streak last night with authority, 7-1 at TD Garden. The Bruins have tonight off. The homestand continues tomorrow night against the Washington Capitals. Celtics made a small trade last night. Juan Hernan Gomez sent to Denver, and a second-round pick went to San Antonio. In return, the Nuggets sent back Bol Bol and forward P.J. Dozier, each of whom is injured. Celtics play Charlotte at TD Garden tonight. Marcus Smart and Aaron Nesmith are questionable. Grandy and Max have the pregame at 7 and the tip-off at 7:30. Here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the Diamond Guild in Norwood. Shopping for an engagement ring can be overwhelming, but not at Beatles Jeweler. They'll help you bring to life everything she's dreaming of at wholesale prices. Reserve now at thediamondguild.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Your next update at 10 o'clock.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
I just ordered food to be delivered to my home when I get home.
Nice.
In the ultimate, it just surrendering to the fatness. And I had to get two things to refrigerate one in order to get to the proper amount of money. So I got two unhealthy things coming to me.
For some reason, like with the COVID over the last few days, all I've wanted to do is eat. And
yeah.
Like all we have around here is like cheese. Like blocks of cheese.
Well, it's good to know that you're still subsisting on government's time. By the way, the Stack has now got a sponsor. It's brought to you by Norwegian Cruise Line, where they have cheese plates galore.
Nice.
Book your 2022 cruise today by visiting ncl.com or call 1-888 NCL Cruise, Norwegian Cruise Line, feel free.
All right. Well, there haven't been things anything more entertaining over the last 24 hours than following a certain owner of a certain Colts team on the internet here. They pop me up there, Danny Boy, if you could. There's
Hey, Quentin. What's up, man?
Jim Irsay.
Hey, fired up.
First, he started off his day on Twitter yesterday by tweeting out a photo of him in a jacket with a cool fedora holding his acoustic guitar outside next to a fire pit, and it just says, fire makes the diamonds.
What?
That's right, baby.
What does that mean?
All I know, it's my new profile photo.
Is that inspire him to, for his new album? I mean, what is that?
He bought a diamond mine in Africa because he's really into human rights.
Okay. Got it.
But he's like looking longingly into the flame. Like, I mean, I believe...
Don't put your hand in it.
You shouldn't, I don't think.
Nah, it's hot.
Yeah, it would be hot. I think that most people would know that, Jim Irsay. I'm not quite sure why you would say that out loud. But yes, this looks to me as if he is trying to make the cover for his newest album. Just how, you know, what of a bluesman he is, because all bluesmen...
Dokken had a song called Burning Like a Flame.
Well, they did.
Rush had an album title called Grace Under Pressure.
But then I believe that maybe Jim Irsay's been listening to our show, because when we were mocking the story that came out about him being a power lifter, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How much, Fred, did he say in that article that he lifted? What was the squatted?
The bench press is what I remember. It was 485. The deadlift was... Well, it was over 650 pounds.
Okay, the bench press, I remember, was 485, too, because Ted Johnson was here. We asked Ted, what's your max? And Ted is built like a fire hydrant.
No,
425 is what
well, no, that's not his max now. That was his max in Colorado.
That's what I meant. Yeah. That was his max for his life.
Yeah,
was
when he was 22.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Jim Irsay apparently wanted the world to know, how dare you mock me? How dare you not believe it? So, just for fun, he posted a video yesterday that looks like it was recorded off of his own computer screen. Like, he's watching old home movies. And it says, when I weighed 307 pounds and squatting 525 pounds in the Super Heavyweight Powerlifting Championships. And sure enough, there is a big-ass Jim Irsay walking over and squatting. I don't know if that's 525 pounds, but it looks like a lot. You should see what Jim Irsay used to look like. Now, I don't believe that he ever could bench or squat more than Ted Johnson, but my God, this dude is he's like a fire hydrant. Check out the video. I just tweeted it right there. But he wanted the world to know last night that he indeed used to be a guy that could power lift like the Dickens.
All right,
I
got to find it.
The greatest thing is that he just felt the need, probably because he was feeling wistful, to record an old home video of his off the screen to let the world know I was once a weightlifting ass kicker.
Too much of a coincidence.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sweatsuits and mustaches in this video. Like, this is maybe 1991, potentially.
Oh, he wouldn't have been that young then. 91, I don't know.
Doesn't that look like it's like late 80s, early 90s?
I got it. I hasn't come up.
That's 30
up on
years
my
ago. I mean, what's Irsay like? You know, probably in his mid 60s. Yeah,
he's
so maybe
62.
It's late 80s.
He's 62 now.
Okay, so this is probably like when he's about maybe like it's probably like 89 or something like that. He probably crushed
30.
A little bit of 30.
Oh
years
wow,
old.
Yeah. Oh yeah, these are guys that I wouldn't say are in shape.
No, it's yeah.
No,
it's
these are. Like, let's get the pain out any way we can.
Okay, at the very beginning of the video, look how he's built. Like, it's like his stomach is... Ooh.
Oh, you know, his dad paid them to put balloons on it or something.
That's what we were saying before. Where it's like, all right, let the owner's kid feel special for a moment.
Wait, and that's like, him in the
That's him squatting it, yeah. And in Hard Knocks, they showed old pictures of him when he's young, and that looks like his face. I didn't know his body was built all warbled that way.
Yeah, that's not like... He doesn't look good.
Doesn't look healthy, no.
No, and it's not like he's, like, ripped. He's just really, really big. All right. And do we know that he got that off the ground? Or is
it... Yo, he squats it. Oh, yeah. Okay. He definitely squats it.
I don't know why he's so proud of that.
Enough to tweet a video of him off his computer.
All right, dude. Your dad still was a drunk that gave you all your money. All right. Tomorrow, Bankroll Boys, Brad Stevens is scheduled to join us. Feel better, Rich.
Yeah, I'll try.
Get your rest. That'll do it for us here. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.